Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn Bridge. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge.
Hi, this is Howe's New York with New York real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight we're going to be looking at the rental market now with our rental guide for New York real estate and Brooklyn real estate. And our special guest is Wade Jabor of Jabor Realty. So stay tuned for Bob.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge.
Welcome, everyone, to Howe's New York. I'm your host again, Robert Howe, and we're talking about a multitude of topics, including real estate, community, politics, and any hot topics of the day. We're broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to a potential audience stretching from Longyearbyen, Norway, to Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. I'm here with my executive producer, Jason Versace of Rising Tide Marketing. We have tonight as our guest Wade Jabor. Wade is the owner of Jabor Real Estate, located on 87th Street and 3rd Avenue in Bay Ridge. And Wade, I noticed that you have a sign outside your office saying you've been in business for how long?
25 years and better, actually.
25 years young, and you have a few years tacked on with the various other real estate endeavors.
In the industry for over 30 years.
Over 30.
Yeah.
So you're the right guy, Wade. We are doing our beginning of the new year shows on real estate trends for 2015. And one of those trends, you know, beside the fact that Bay Ridge is that Brooklyn is hot, and some people say Bay Ridge is on the cusp of that, We are talking about the topic of rents, and recently there have been some reports about rents in Bay Ridge creeping up, and we thought we'd have an expert like you on who does both sales and rentals to talk about, you know, that observation, whether it's true, whether it's an exaggeration or somewhere in the middle. So, you know, recently there was an article, you probably saw it, the end of last year, saying Bay Ridge rents went up almost 10%, the highest in the neighborhood and all of Brooklyn. And I think it surprised a lot of people. What was your thought about that?
Well, it may have gone up 10% over the last year or two. The rental market has always been strong here. We've always had a high demand area. You know, obviously it's a great area to live in. And we are, you know, there's always that talk about the people coming from downtown, because downtown has been explosive. You know, Brooklyn Heights and Park Slope and those areas. And the rents are out of control down there. But nevertheless, people did start to come up this way a little bit, and naturally the rents did become a little higher. I don't think it's as high as people are visualizing or hearing. In other words, we used to have, you know, your typical two-bedroom, five-room apartment in a two-family house. We were always getting $1,800, $1,600 to $1,800 for those apartments. Today, maybe we are getting $2,000 or better. But it's we have gone up 10% over the last year or two, not just in the last few months.
Right, but as you point out, we have to compare that with rents throughout the county, where easily in a Williamsburg, a Dumbo, you could be paying $4,000, double.
For the same apartment, exactly.
Well,
I hate to use that expression. You're going to get a better bang for your buck, which I think I've said once or twice. So, in other words, if you're spending $2,000 in Bay Ridge, you're going to get five or six rooms. If you're spending $2,000 in Dumbo or Williamsburg, you're going to get a studio. So you're getting a lot more square footage, living square footage for yourself.
So all of these alerts that Bay Ridge rents are going sky high, when put in perspective, really has been a gradual climb over 2 years, and still throughout compared to downtown, they are still 50% both rent and maybe size.
Exactly. You know, downtown is where the other area, down in Dumbo and Williamsburg and Park Slope, and those areas probably have increased by 20 and 30% and things like that. But over here, I think we've been on a steady climb, and not an explosive climb.
And from your observation, people who come into your office to rent, are these people that are just basically moving around different places in Bay Ridge, or are there an influx of outsiders coming from downtown or Manhattan looking for places?
A little bit of both. We have I'll call it our normal influx of people from, you know, different areas, different states, different countries, or even from within. And then you are seeing that group of people, I guess, from, you know, what are they calling them today, the hipsters or whatever you want to call them, coming from the younger generation, coming from Williamsburg and downtown. We are getting some of them, but I don't think we're getting as much as what people perceive.
Right. I tend to agree with you. We're not being overrun by people escaping the high rents of Manhattan or downtown Brooklyn.
No.
We're not being overrun by that. Well, let's talk a moment about the type of apartments that are available in the Bay Ridge area. Go over, someone from the outside coming in, what might some of the apartments be that you're able to offer them?
Well, you have a variety. You have residential homes, and most of the residential homes are going to be two and three family houses, two, three, and four family houses, and they'll typically consist of two-bedroom or three-bedroom apartments. Those apartments are going to range plus or minus $2,000, depending on the condition, the location, how many flights you're walking up, and things like that. So I think I shouldn't say range. They'll start anywhere from 18, and you'll go to, you know, up to $3,000, depending on, for the two- and three-bedroom, five- and six-room apartment. Then you also have apartment buildings. And the apartment buildings, you'll have from studios to a one-bedroom apartment to a two-bedroom and a three-bedroom apartment. Studios today in our elevator buildings, let's just stick with elevator apartment buildings. Studios in those buildings will run maybe 1,200 range. The one-bedrooms are going to be in the 1,600 range, a little bit bigger than that. We call them a junior four, 1,800. And your two-bedrooms are going to be at least $2,000, $2,200. Now, that's when I talk about the elevator buildings, we're talking about most of them being, I guess, in that Shore Road area, Offshore Road. Then you also have, you know, you've got a variety of other things. You have apartments that are over the stores. You've got maybe a little walk-in apartment on a residential house. But typically, there's not going to be anything less than $1,100 or $1,200, and we're going to go up to, you know, an average of $3,000, depending on the size. We do occasionally have private homes, meaning a freestanding three- or four-bedroom detached house that has a garage and a driveway and things like that. We do get that occasionally, and they could rent for, you know, $4,000, $5,000, and $6,000, depending on condition and location.
And how about, Wade, people who own co-ops or condos? Are they sometimes looking to rent out their spaces?
Well, condos are easier to rent because typically there's not a co-op, a condo board that has to approve everything you're doing. So condos, we get them occasionally, but most of those people, they're buying them to live in them, and then maybe they're going to, you know, there's not too many investors with that. But we get them, and those are condos are typically going to be a newer construction. And, you know, people like newer construction, and they'll get a, you know, it'll cost a little bit more. But there is some of them available. We don't have too much condominium in our area. We have a lot of co-ops. Many of the apartment buildings in the area are co-op, more are co-op than rental. The co-ops are a little bit more difficult to rent because they have to go through the co-op board. So it becomes difficult because the tenant typically will have to pay an application fee, do a full application in terms of, you know, credit, income, tax returns, you know, a full package of paperwork, which then has to be submitted to the managing agent and then goes along to the co-op board. Now,
that doesn't sound like a very fast process.
It could take at least a month. So now, you know, and then they could possibly get rejected. So difficult to rent a co-op to go through that procedure because, you know, if you want to rent an apartment, you don't want to be sitting around waiting for a month to get rejected and pay fees for it, too. So I'm not too keen on co-op rentals, honestly. I try to tell the people that own these apartments, I try to, you know, let them know that it's a procedure, it's a process, and a lot of people are not willing to do it, that if they do want to leave, they should really consider just selling.
And most of the people who come into your office looking for a rental, I would guess, there's some immediate need for that. They're not saying, I'm thinking about renting 6 months from now.
Correct.
They come in and they say, I just moved here, I got to get out of the place I'm in, or I've had a family
issue.
Nine
out of ten is going to be for the immediate future, yes.
Yes, 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 yes. And how about, how would you describe a rental availability at the beginning of 2015? Is it tight? Are there a lot of apartments? What's going on with the market there?
We never really have an overabundance of apartments. I mean, right now, I guess, I would say it's tight. Overall, it's tight. There's not a lot of inventory out there. There are apartments. People will find them. We do have inventory, but, you know, we're not overloaded with it. If you come and you're looking for, you're looking for a two-bedroom apartment in an apartment building, you'll be lucky to find, you know, five or ten of them. So, you know, in our Bay Ridge area. You know, and don't forget, Bay Ridge is a little bit of a, you know, geographically a small area. We don't have, you know, it's not that big. But nevertheless, do have inventory, not a lot of it. On the whole, it's a tight market.
So let's talk about, for a moment, about the types of people that walk into your office. What have they done, do you know, before they came into your office? Have they done their own research, and has the type of renter changed over, say, the last 10 or 20 years with the, you know, the rise of the Internet, Craigslist, and all sorts of other rental sites? What are they, are they more informed? Are they more demanding, more knowledgeable? What's going on with the type of renter that you're seeing now in 2015?
Well, they are more informed. And with those websites, with the Craigslist and things like that, they are trying to go and rent the apartments on their own directly to the landlords. It does become a little more difficult for them. For both parties, actually, it could be difficult, the tenant and the landlord. It's hard to say. I mean, overall, they are more educated. The landlords are a lot more restrictive. Naturally, when there's low inventory or a tight market, then the landlords could be a lot more demanding on their specifications. And by that I mean, you know, maybe pets. They don't want a dog or cat or something like that. So I guess the easiest answer is that they are going to be a lot more educated, and they kind of know what's out there, and they know the marketplace.
And how about the landlords that you? Well, who are actually the bulk of your do renters hire your office to look for places, or do landlords list their apartments with you for rent?
Oh, sure.
How does that work?
It's both. Okay, so the landlords list their apartments with us, and they ask us to go out and find them a tenant. So we do our advertising, and we try to bring the, and we, you know, we get the tenants to answer, to come through our door, so to speak, whether it be by phone or come to the office. So the tenant comes to us. He asks us to show him specific type of apartment. So let's say one particular tenant wants a one-bedroom apartment. So we're going to take him out, or her, out to show the one-bedroom apartments in that, you know, specific area with certain price range that they might want. If they like the apartment, then we would take an application from them, take a small deposit. We would present that application to the landlord. The landlord would say, okay, sounds good. Can we run a little, you know, can we do a little more homework on these people? Do they have good credit? Do they have a job? Do they have income? And we try to put the deal together that way. If things you know, it's all up to the landlord of you know, whether they're going to accept these the tenant or not. It's up to them. We just, you know, try to bring them in. We try to screen them as best as possible. We don't have the right to say yes or no, whether you're good or not good or qualified or not qualified. We present to the landlord, and the landlord makes their decision.
So, Wade, you are a licensed real estate broker regulated by the state of New York, and I guess there are restrictions on ways that you operate your rental business and how you both screen tenants and educate landlords on, you know, what type of tenant they could be looking for. Talk up a little bit about that, those regulations that you and other, you know, rental offices are under when renting.
Well, I'll try to keep it as simple as I can. As an example, people come into the office and they're requesting an apartment. I can't ask who is going to live in the apartment. I could only ask how many people are going to live in the apartment. I could ask if they have a source of income. I could ask about pets. And that's about the most I can ask.
But I'm sure your landlord client wants you to know everything.
Well, that's right. The landlord, you know, I'll have landlords come to me and say, well, I don't want this and I don't want, and I have to tell them, I have to shut them down on who they want or who they don't want. You know, like there'll be landlords that'll turn around and then say to us, well, I only want a single guy, a single girl, you know, a young one, an old one, or this one, or that. I can't hear about that. I can only ask him how many people he would accept. And I could only ask the tenant how many people they are. And that's as far as it goes. I hate to, you know, I hate to bring into the conversation, but then it becomes discriminatory.
Correct, yes.
I can't say, well, it's an older lady or a younger lady, or two kids, older kids or younger kids, or some, you know, can't go down that road at all.
And how about if the landlord had not engaged your services and the same tenant went to the landlord on their own, is the landlord also prohibited from using
yes,
asking those questions?
They have to be very cautious, definitely.
Yes.
Landlord
although
has to watch. Right.
Although they're probably not aware of the many regulations.
Most landlords are not. Most landlords are not. I've had to shut a lot of them down when they start talking that way and educate them.
Correct. So
mm-hmm.
Let's talk a moment for so it is a highly regulated area.
Very much so.
The thought of saying I want this sex, this religion, whatever.
Do.
Yes, no can do. You can once you're a landlord, you have to open your doors to any creditworthy person that comes your way.
Right.
Essentially.
That's suitable. Pretty much, yes.
So let's talk about how a potential tenant could make themselves more presentable to a prospective landlord. Are there things like cleaning up credit, getting letters of recommendation, things of that nature that might make a tenant,
sure.
assuming we stay away from all of the potentially discriminatory, you know, aspects to make a tenant more attractive to a landlord?
Listen, a landlord's main thing is they want to know that they've got someone that's going to pay on time. That's the first criteria. So a tenant, if they were smart, they should come out with their guns loaded. Come to the office and show us their pay stubs. Or if they have a credit report, show us their credit report. Give us some ammunition. Give the broker some ammunition to go with to the landlord. Landlords want peace, quiet, no headaches, and they want to get paid on time. So just show me all of that, and I'm a happy landlord.
And so long as they pay, they don't care about race, creed, color, orientation.
I don't know about that. I can't talk about that. I don't, you know, that's typically not. Most people are at ease with everything today. They want to know that they got a good family in the house, they got good people in the house, and they want to know that they're going to be peaceful and get paid. That I think, is the most important criteria.
And how about landlords? Should landlords do anything before listing their apartments or doing something to the apartment, staging them like
one might
do? Well,
of course. I tell landlords all the time, if you want to give good to get good, give me a nice, clean apartment, freshly painted, and then you're going to get better people, I would think. Versus, you know, a place that's all beat up and it ain't spent, you know. You're going to give good to somebody, you're going to get good people out of it. So, yes, a landlord should prepare their apartment, spend a couple of dollars on it, make sure it's painted and cleaned and livable.
You know, we're hearing now about this, these two new services, Airbnb and Uber. Uber, of course, is the alternative to car services, which has turned that industry upside down. And now we have Airbnb, individuals renting out their rooms, their whole spaces, and that has the potential of turning, rentals and hospitality hotels upside down. What is your thought on this whole Airbnb, people renting out on their own a room, a space, a short-term, long-term? Is that happening in Brooklyn?
Well, to be honest with you, Bob, I really don't know much about that, to be very honest with you. But, you know, typically, you know, if you have a lease, typically you're not allowed to do that. A tenant that has a lease really does not have the right to do that, I don't think, to be renting out rooms and stuff like that. And then it also has to adhere to the certificate of occupancy of the building, of how many people could be in the property and things like that. But I don't really know much about that
and
air thing, to be honest with you.
How about single room occupancies? I guess there are a lot of people out there that either live somewhere else and need a spot to sleep, you know, during the work week, and then they drive 2 or 3 hours upstate, downstate, wherever. Is stuff like that available in Bay Ridge?
There's not a few of those places in our area here. There are several buildings like that, single room occupancies. They used to be very, you know, run down and poorly maintained, and you didn't want to go near the place, actually, most of them. But the ones that we have here, cleaned up, they're very nice. I think they've become affordable, you know, meaning like $60, $70 a night type of thing. They will not allow long-term stays, you know, because there are people that will try to get in there and stay forever. They will not allow that. They'll only go maybe a week out at a time, because they don't want, like I say, the long-term stays, because then that creates problems. It's almost like a hotel, actually, but it's a single-room occupancy. We have a few, and they do okay in the area.
And finally, Wade, give us your forecast for rentals in Bay Ridge for 2015. Expensive, tight market.
All of the above. The prices, I think, are going to still climb. The market becomes tighter. There's a lack of inventory throughout the city right now, so it will keep filling over here. We still will get, you know, the ones that are paying the $2,000-$3,000 downtown coming here occasionally when it's time to move. But overall, yes, the market will get tight and the prices will go up.
Well, that's Wade Jabbour of Jabbour Real Estate's forecast for 2015 rents, the rental market in Bay Ridge. And thank you, Wade, for sharing your thoughts and your expertise with us. And we will chat in the near future to see how things have either maintained themselves or changed. And we appreciate you being on.
Pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you, Wade.
All right. Well, thank you.
Well, this concludes tonight's radio program. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for hosting our show. And thanks to our guest, Wade Jabbour. Wade is the owner of Jabbour Real Estate, located on 87th Street and 3rd Avenue. And he told us he's celebrating his 25th year business as a real estate broker, for sharing his insights with us. This is How's New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people. Wishing you a good night, and a good morning, and a good afternoon. I am your host, Robert Howe.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge.